Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is Scott Aspenlighter. I am sitting in for the great Aaron Flint this morning, so you get 4 hours of me today to start your day. Flint is taking some much-needed vacation time with his family, so good for Aaron. Grateful for all he does for Billings and for our state, keeping this radio show going and keeping the information flowing to all of you listening this morning. So anyway, good morning. Scott Aspenlighter, like I said. I'll be taking some calls all morning. I'm open for all the discussion and all the debate today. Hopefully, coming out of Christmas, Caden, hopefully we're in a great mood this holiday season. I know we had a great time spending some time with our family and our kids here in Billings. I did not get back to Culbertson, my hometown in the northeast corner of the state, but spent Christmas here in Billings with my wife and her family, and had a great time yesterday just relaxing. She cooked up a fantastic prime rib roast, and if you have not done that on Christmas, which was not a tradition for my family back up in the North Country, up in the tundra, but my wife Heather did a phenomenal job cooking up a prime rib roast, and we enjoyed that yesterday. So great day today. Weather's beautiful again here in Billings. I don't know what to expect these days as it comes to winter. You know, in my industry, in the construction industry, I'm a civil engineer. These open winters have been great for us building and constructing and getting things done in our communities, and it's really stretched our construction season out. But, boy, we pay for it in the summertime. So it's going to be another beautiful day out here. Doesn't look like there's any weather, but we're going to hear about that here coming up. Doesn't look like there's any weather in the forecast for the week, but you know, we're gonna have to see how it goes. I know my wife enjoys these 50 degree December days. I'm more of a snow guy. I grew up in the tundra, man. I like it cold. I like 2 feet of snow. I enjoy that. Caden says he can't snowboard without snow. I know Red Lodge Mountain would sure like to have some snow as well. Boy, it is looking bleak at the moment for the old winter season. I know the guys in our office are itching to get out. I mean, hell, they haven't even been able to ice fish at this point, you know? So we're struggling with the winter recreation around here this time of the year with the weather as it is. But beautiful days. If you're a construction company, man, you love this. So as we go through today, run through a couple things. I know we have Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear from Savage, Montana. He's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We have Rabbi Brook, who's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour to talk Hanukkah. So great morning coming up. Looking forward to it. Phone number is 406-294-0970. Call in. Let us know what you're thinking about, what you're talking about, and how your Christmas was. All right, look forward to coming back here in a couple minutes. Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly cloudy today with areas of rain and some snow. Then chance of seeing some rain towards the afternoon, with a high of 45. Tonight, partly cloudy, low near 28. On Friday, sunny to partly cloudy. Chance of seeing some rain and some snow towards the evening, with a high of 47. Friday night, chance of rain, then snow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
securing America.
The House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party held a hearing earlier this month on the U.S. Defense Industrial Base, where it got harsh warnings from Chris Broz, the former staff director of the Senate Armed Services Committee, who said the U.S. has simply not kept pace.
We increasingly lack the industrial capacity, as the chairman said, to deter and, if necessary, fight and win a great power conflict.
Broz went on to say,
years of war games, including those overseen by this committee, suggest we would run out of critical munitions in less than 1 week of a war with China.
So what to do? Broz says we need to change the types of weapons we're making.
We should ramp investments in entirely new types of military forces, vast numbers of lower cost, hyper-producible, autonomous vehicles and weapons.
Despite his warnings, Broz says the news is not all bad, because when it comes to money, people, and technology,
we have everything we need to win.
Kevin Reston, Fox News.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content. David Noble, Scott Aspenlighter, and more. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Getting used to running the board here. I've only ever sat on the other side of the board, so if it's a little bumpy this morning, please hold on, buckle up. We'll get there, I promise. It is Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for Aaron Flint this morning. Flint is on vacation, getting a little downtime with his family, so I'm happy to step in. So, Scott Aspenlighter, me, I'm a city councilman here in Billings. I own a civil engineering firm named Performance Engineering. We do a lot of infrastructure and construction work around town, so we're going to bounce in and out of infrastructure in my time here today and tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about billing stuff as well. So as we look back at the year, this last year was kind of my first year as a city councilman here in Billings. I got elected last year and sworn in on the first of the year. And wanted to take some time to talk a little bit about what's going on in Billings and where we're at and where we're headed as we go through the show today. Tomorrow we're going to have Councilwoman Owen on for a couple hours also as we talk about some things around the city of Billings from the 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock hours. But this morning, it's a good time to look back at some of the accomplishments I think that we've had in the city of Billings. I mean, Billings does have some bumps and some warts. Nobody would argue that, but Billings is a phenomenal city, and Montana is a phenomenal state, and we have accomplished some really great things over the last 12 months here in Billings, I think, and some of it I think is worth talking about. You know, we this last year passed a budget that added 20 public safety staff to the city of Billings. We got 12 officers out on the streets. Two of those are domestic violence investigators. We put allocated seven more FTE to the fire department to get more firefighters in to help bridge the gap and add necessary resources to keep our community safe. We added more prosecutors to handle prosecuting violent crimes that do occur here in our city. So we made some great investments in our city and are working towards making this a safer and a better place. You know, from an economic activity standpoint, if you look around Billings, man, there is construction everywhere. And we haven't even talked about the granddaddy of them all, the new St. V's Hospital that's going to start construction here next year. No, that St. V's Hospital is almost a $1 billion investment, $925 million. Constructed over 25 years. I mean, the economic impact of that type of construction and that type of activity in our community is going to be felt across sectors, across industries, and it's going to be phenomenal for our city. But I think those types of things are just good examples of the great
things that we have going on here in Billings and the great foundation that we've built as a community. We have our crime problems, and we'll talk about that a little bit over the next 2 days. But, you know, we are facing those growing pains that little communities hit when they turn into medium-sized communities, and medium-sized communities hit when they turn into larger cities. You know, we are not a 50,000 person community anymore. We're 125 to 130,000 person community, and we're going to face some growing pains, but we have got great opportunity here in Billings, and we are taking advantage of that, I think, to the best of our abilities. So along with those investments in public safety, I think some of the great things that you're going to see here coming into the next year that happened as a result of actions taken and work from the private and public sector here in Billings, you're going to see a rec center get built. Yeah, I know Flint talked ad nauseum about that when that was a $150 million bond issue that went out to the voters and got beat 2-1. I voted against that bond along with, well, 2/3 of our community. Now we have a better approach, and we're actually going to get something done. We've peeled it back from $150 million to a $21 million facility. We've got a public-private partnership with Signal Peak Mine, who's donating $6 million to build a $12 million ice facility. The other $6 million for that ice facility is going to come from private investment, not from public dollars, but from private investment. So you're going to get a $12 million privately funded ice facility separate right next to a hard court basketball facility down at Amen Park. That hard court facility, along with building out the infrastructure for both of those two buildings, is about $21 million. So instead of spending and levying taxes, passing a bond, and taxing our people for $150 million for the crown jewel of the Northwest and rec facilities, we're going to build a buildings appropriate facility. And that impact and that approach, I think, is going to bring some things to our community that we didn't otherwise have before. And we're going to see some sports tourism that comes out of that. We're going to see some traveling tournaments that come out of that for basketball, volleyball, those types of things. We're going to get some economic activity in our community once we get these facilities up. There's already a Canadian minor league hockey team that is looking to locate in Billings as a result of building this new ice facility. So, you know, there are some great things happening in our community, and I think it's a good time this time of the year to talk about that and reflect on the things that we did get done. So as we keep going today, we're going to bounce in and out of local politics. We're going to bounce into some state stuff. But at this point in time, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after the break. This is Montana Talks Radio with Scott Aspenleiter.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Of course they pay higher salaries in places like New York and L.A. It costs so much more to live in those places. You hear those kinds of statements so often that you never question them. But when you examine them more closely, the logic doesn't quite work. Of course, the evidence is clear. Average wages in the bigger cities are higher than Montana, for many jobs at least. But there's nothing automatic about simply paying people higher wages because, say, housing costs or taxes are high. After all, the business they are paying those wages don't get extra revenue from their customers simply because the cost of living where they are located is high. People make higher wages in bigger cities because the nature of their jobs is different. They are more specialized. Their responsibilities are broader. Their decisions and actions have more impact. They are paid more because their efforts produce more. That's where the money comes from to pay them more, as it must. There's no other way it could happen. I'm Patrick Markey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Call it checking out and checking in. At least that's the case for 81-year-old Republican Texas Representative Kay Granger, checking out of Congress and checking in to an assisted living facility in Texas. She moved herself into the retirement home earlier this year. It has a memory care unit, but Granger is not in it. Granger stepped down as chairwoman of the Appropriations Committee in the spring following that government funding fight. Granger has not voted since July. In fact, she only voted 45% of the time this year. In a statement, Granger said her, quote, health challenges progressed, and that made it difficult to travel between Texas and Washington. In March, she handed over the reins to Democrat Rosa DeLauro to manage a spending bill on the floor. Granger returned to the Capitol in November for the unveiling of her portrait as the first Republican woman to lead the Appropriations Committee, but she did not vote. One source says the GOP needed her vote to maintain the majority, and that's why she didn't resign. Granger retires at the end of this Congress in a few days. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is disappointed by some of the changes that are proposed in the scientific report of the 2025 Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. One suggestion for the U.S.'s new dietary guidelines is moving beans, peas, and lentils from being a subgroup of the vegetable category to being a subgroup of the protein category to align with evidence to encourage plant sources of protein. NCBA President and Wyoming rancher Mark Isley calls the trend to push people away from meat and toward plant-based proteins a terrible idea.
We work with an outstanding group of dietitians and meat scientists, and they make sure that those guidelines really are adequate. So we're working to push against that. We want to make sure we have a voice for school lunches, Department of Defense, and the dietary guidelines that includes beef as a good, nutritious protein.
He says cutting back on beef consumption won't make Americans healthy again.
It's not really addressing concerns, and I think it would head off a lot of childhood diseases in addition to adult problems that we had. I just read a fascinating story that almost half of India is diabetic. And that's why? Because they don't eat meat. They don't eat beef. So it's obviously not working.
Now, the report also recommends reorganizing the order of the protein foods group and suggests putting beans, peas, and lentils first, nuts, seeds, and soy products second, seafood third, and meat, poultry, and eggs last. NCBA, he says, will be submitting comments to the Federal Agriculture Department and the Health and Human Services Department, and he encourages cattle producers to do the same.
We've still got some time to adjust the flow of this thing, and we will definitely weigh in, and we have some of the best people in all of D.C. to pursue that and push that forward and back it with the staff we have in Denver who actually does that work and does that research.
Now, the comment period on the proposed 2025 dietary guidelines is open until January 16th, 2025. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this. Looking for unbeatable deals on used equipment? Then look no further than C&B, your local John Deere dealer of choice. Right now in our clearance center, we've got a 2022 John Deere 260R windrower with 1,582 engine hours, equipped with a 16-foot platform and a 6,000 receiver and command center auto track activation. Now clearanced at just $165,000. Want to check out more clearance equipment? Then hit the C&B today or visit DeereEquipment.com/clearance. But don't wait. This unit won't last long.
Hi, this is Chandler Gould, National Association of Wheat Growers CEO. The 2025 Commodity Classic is headed to Denver, Colorado in March, and I'd like to personally invite you to join fellow wheat growers in America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agriculture and education experience. Not to mention, it's the closest it's ever been to your farm, making it even easier to attend. Register by January 15th for the best rates. Visit commodityclassic.com. Join us today in Denver, March 2nd through the 5th.
Well, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has announced the withdrawal of their proposed biological integrity, diversity, and environmental health rule for national wildlife refuge systems. The proposal would have issued several changes, including prioritizing natural processes over agricultural uses, the ability for the agency to introduce species, including federally protected ones, to the refuge, and the ability to acquire private land to fulfill refuge purposes. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Good morning, Montana. This is Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for Aaron Flint as Aaron takes a little needed time off with his family. So you got me for the next 2 days. So let me get our call-in number out there, 406-294-0970. Please give me a ring. Let's talk about whatever's on your mind, because we're going to roll through some national stuff and some state stuff here. Later on today, we've got Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear. He is going to come on in the 8 o'clock hour, and we're going to talk about what's coming in the next legislative session here starting in January. So Brandon's a savage Montana guy, farmer and rancher from out in eastern Montana, great leader. We're fortunate to have him and fortunate to have him on the show this morning to talk about what we're going to be seeing in the legislature coming up. So looks like we've got, go ahead and you can also go ahead and message in on the app. I forget about that stuff. I'm not a big social media guy. So Caden, our trusty operator and manager in the back here is telling me, yep, shoot in some messages on the app as well. So happy to talk about whatever we got, but let's talk about some national stuff here for a couple minutes. President Biden signed 50 bills into law on Tuesday night. A couple of these things are very benign, but a couple of them also caught my eye. Like, he signed in a bill that made the bald eagle the country's official bird. First of all, for me, I always thought that was the case. I know they're a protected species, but you know, the bald eagle is synonymous with the United States of America. So that's my ignorance. Another bill that does appear to be a really great bill in action stops members of Congress from collecting their pensions if they're convicted of crimes. As we've seen some of these elected officials here lately, Menendez being chief among them here lately, being convicted of fraud and using their positions of power to financially gain themselves. This is something that was needed a long, long time ago. We do not need people making a career out of being a politician in Washington, D.C., and not only making a career of it, but building millions and millions and millions of dollars in a bankroll on $187,000 a year salary, serving our country in Congress. You know, these types of things should have been done long, long, long ago, and good on Congress for getting this passed and getting it on the president's desk. Good on President Biden for signing it. But a couple of things out there in his swift actions before Christmas. As we go into another break, again, the call-in number is 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the app. Look forward to talking to you this morning. We're going to take a quick break. Montana Talks Radio. All right. Little Fox News break. So let's talk about some more national action here. As President Trump comes in here in January 20th, 2025, everybody in this part of the country anyway, in the Wyoming, Dakotas, and Montana is looking for energy and looking for drilling and looking for resource development. That's vital to our state. You know, our state is funded primarily on the revenues coming from the extraction industry, and we have seen a growing decline, particularly in coal revenues, which is impacting our ability to invest in people in our communities, improving their infrastructure. So we have got to start getting back to harvesting the energy resources that we have at our hands and the natural resources, doing it in a environmentally coherent and cohesive way, but producing energy, which is what we do in Montana and the Dakotas. So one of the things coming out on the wire today was, you know, the U.S. is going to see another landmark year for oil production in 2024, despite President Biden's green agenda. So as President Trump comes in, he is, again, continuing to promise drill, baby, drill, which is music to the ears of those of us up in up in the north part of the country. But one of the biggest benefits that we're going to have is President Trump has nominated for Interior Secretary North Dakota Governor Burgum. Who knows better about producing energy in this country than the governor of North Dakota, who has managed production of the Bakken for the last 8 years. He's a pro-business guy. He understands business. He built a big, successful business himself. But we're going to have an ally in the Department of Interior in North Dakota Governor Burgum and the Energy Secretary Chris Wright, who is also nominated there. So one of the things that President-elect is promising to do is looking at enacting more tax incentives to encourage drilling, looking at better drilling regulations. And I can tell you that that is the critical component of this. If we can reduce the regulatory red tape, that doesn't mean we're looking to clear cut forests, but reduce the regulatory red tape, speed up the permitting process. We're going to see more economic activity and investment in our energy industry than anything else, tax incentives included. So reduction in regulations and looking at interstate pipeline permitting. Hey, how about that? That's another thing that we've got to get back in the business of doing, building pipelines and drilling wells. So, hey, we're up on another break here. So Montana Talks Radio, call in 406-294-0970. Looks like Nancy and Roundup's up. We'll get to her after the break. Thanks again for listening to Montana Talks Radio. We'll be back in a second.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thanks for joining us this morning. This is Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for the great Aaron Flint. Flint's on vacation, getting some downtime, so you get me for the next 2 days. We did get some messages in, and please do call in. 406-294-0970 is the call-in number. You can also message in on the app. But we did get one on the app from Cameron in Billings. So Cameron says, that's why we need term limits. So many officials filling their pockets while they make laws that go against the people they're supposed to be serving, kind of in reference to President Biden signing a bill to prevent Congress from collecting their pension if they're convicted of crime. So I agree with Cameron. Much needed. Surprised it took this long, but what happens in D.C. so often is not surprising like that, unfortunately. So we do have Nancy in Roundup. So, Nancy, good morning. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. What's on your mind this morning? Nancy, is Nancy there on this one?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
There?
Yeah, now I got it. I didn't get the right button on the board. Rookie move.
Oh, my God. I'm talking to the spirit of Christmas past. Well, here we go again. I'll do it again. Well, good morning, Scott.
Good morning, anyway, Nancy. Did you have a Merry Christmas?
I had a wonderful Christmas. It was laid back. And the weather was so astonishing. I took a very long walk with the dog. And I spent the whole afternoon watching a classic movie called Once Upon a Time in the West with an all-time cast of Charles Bronson and Henry Fonda, Jason Robards. It was absolutely fantastic. I don't know if you're familiar with this Western, but it's got to be one of the finest ones ever made. And I have a three-disc collector's edition here, so that's what I did. I just love that movie. But anyway, I want to get on to this signing of these bills by Joe Biden. They keep talking about signing these things into law. Our presidents can't make laws, so these have to be executive orders that he's doing. Because if you know, yourself that Congress and Senate is out of session right now. They're not coming back until the 28th of January. So no law can be passed in our country without the approval of Congress and Senate. So these are executive orders. I don't know why the media continues to call these signing into law. The man cannot do this. And as far as I'm concerned, when President-elect Donald Trump takes the Oval Office, he should bring an eraser in the size of a Volkswagen car and just say, I'm erasing everything that Joe Biden has signed in the last 4 years and put an end to all of it. So I don't know about you, but I'm very, very excited about January 3rd. We're going to get a new Senate and Congress, and we are blessed to have Tim Sheehy. I have met the man. He is probably one of the most patriotic and one of the finest Americans I've ever met in my lifetime. So I just feel that we are blessed, and every day is a gift. So that's what I had to say this morning, Scott, and I'm waiting for our state speaker. I'm anxious to hear what he has to say.
That's great. Well, I appreciate the call, Nancy. And have yourself a great rest of the week. Appreciate you tuning in. And I'm excited to talk to Speaker of the House Lear as well. So,
good.
So thanks again for the call-in from Nancy. Nancy brings up a good point. This is reported as signing bills into law. Now, I honestly can't tell you whether he actually signed bills. These were bills that Congress had passed and put forward to him. Or these were executive orders. I don't know, but that's an important distinction to determine. I mean, one of the other things that he did sign in this package of 50 bills was a bill that's supported by reality TV star and heiress Paris Hilton. Now, I know that this is going to sound weird where I go with this and off brand for a conservative guy like myself, but Paris Hilton has been a advocate, whether you knew this or not. She's been an advocate for treatment centers and child facilities that serve as youth reintroduction facilities or family unification facilities. Generally speaking, they're facilities that take youth in, troubled youth or youth that are quote-unquote troubled, take them into their facilities. They're generally camps out. Montana had a couple of them. Idaho had a couple of them. And they pull troubled teens away and work through a quote-unquote program. Now, these aren't things like the Boys and Girls Ranch. That's not the case. These are unregulated, generally speaking, unregulated camps and facilities that use some pretty rough methodology to pull teens and kids back into what is considered compliance. Paris Hilton went through one of those as a kid, and she's been an advocate. Paris Hilton was actually in Montana here a couple sessions ago up at the legislature as our legislature was looking at regulations and some rules around these reunification camps. So President Biden did sign in a bill that will hold treatment centers and care facilities serving youths accountable for treatment or maltreatment. Again, yeah, that seems like a benign issue unless that's something that touches your family and that it is a very and deeply personal issue. And this may be one of them. I got to pull that bill up, and now I'm intrigued as well. But I got to pull that up and take a look at it. Montana is one of the very few states in the country that does allow for these kind of unregulated reunification camps. And we have a couple that don't use any kind of treatment methodology or programming that is accepted by any medical journal, any medical school, any psychological school of thought. These are kind of old school facilities that really by brute force try to force reunification of families and do so in a very brutal manner, in my opinion. We do have some things coming up. Tomorrow we're going to talk to Kyla Hailstone with the Montana Family Court Awareness Project. about Brody's Law. Brody's Law is kind of a spinoff of some actions that happened through one of these reunification processes forced by, you know, the courts in a custody case. Unfortunately, Brody lost his life. Brody committed suicide after being taken from his mother and forced into the custody of his father, who was accused of being very abusive to not only his mother, but also to Brody himself. And unfortunately, Brody took his life. But these things are actually very real. And, you know, this one jumped off the page at me as something that President Biden took action on, but also something that is happening here in our state. And again, this is one of those items that unless it touches your family or a family that you're close to, you wouldn't otherwise know about it. And if you don't know about it, you're fortunate, because these are difficult, difficult issues in the family court system and in the custody court set. So look forward to talking about that a little bit more tomorrow. We're going to talk about some things with respect to the Family Justice Center tomorrow as well. So on that, we are going to get back to talking about energy production. So you all know that, being Montanans, Montana built a great economy over the years and funded a lot of great infrastructure projects across our state with energy production. But we are dwindling that pool down, and as actions start to wind up at Colstrip, as the Colstrip power plants start to wind down, well, we have got to refocus and take advantage of any opportunity we can to revitalize the energy industry in our state. I'm hopeful that President Trump, with the assistance of North Dakota Governor Burgum, can get us back on track here in Montana. But it's going to take a lot for us to get back on track in Montana with energy development and a coal industry that is hanging on by a thread. Right now, things are good. Signal Peak up in Roundup is going well, but they've got permitting issues of their own to fight through and that they're struggling to get through with the courts. So we really, really, really need President Trump to come back in here and help us clean up the regulatory environment around energy development. Montana can't see that fast enough, and our economy desperately needs it. So looking forward to seeing what President Trump and Governor Burgum do to help us out here in Montana. So with that, we're going to take another quick break. Call-in number is 406-294-0970. Call in, let me know what's on your mind. Montana Talks Radio.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Vivek Ramaswamy will join us. I love what he and Elon Musk are doing. By the way, they're staying outside of the government. And like the Grace Commission that Ronald Reagan formed in the 1980s, the best business, brightest business minds in the country, they're going to come up with ways to run government more like a business. In other words, for anybody that has ever wanted limited government and more freedom, this is probably the only opportunity that we will have in our lifetime to get rid of waste and fraud and abuse. And they're talking about cutting $2 trillion. And I think they're serious as hell, and I think it will happen as long as Republican lawmakers go along with what their recommendations are. Those recommendations are expected on July 4th of 2026.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, if you ever worry about the safety of your home, your family, there's no better time to act right now with Simply Safe Home Security. Now, one listener writes, quote, "Because I had Simply Safe, the man who burglarized my home is now spending 6 years in a New York prison." And right now, you, my listeners, get 50% off any new Simply Safe security system just by going to simplysafe.com/Hannity. Now, Simply Safe has the technology to stop criminals from even entering your home in the first place with their exclusive Active Guard outdoor protection. Live agents keep watch outside your property 24/7. You get professional monitoring plans starting about $1 a day. Now, Simply Safe is extending their massive Black Friday deal just for you, my listeners. This week, you get up to 50% off any new system with a select professional monitoring plan. It's the system I have. You'll love it. Just go to simplysafe.com/Hannity. That's simplysafe.com/Hannity, because there's no safe like Simply Safe.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly cloudy today with areas of rain and some snow. Then chance of seeing some rain towards the afternoon, with a high of 45. Tonight, partly cloudy, low near 28. On Friday, sunny to partly cloudy. Chance of seeing some rain and some snow towards the evening, with a high of 47. Friday night, chance of rain, then snow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks. And there's going to be some great content. David.
Or Skechers.com or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right. Welcome back. Again, this is Scott Aspenlighter stepping in for the great Aaron Flint for the next 2 days. So Cameron's active this morning, up and at him early on his coffee. So Cameron sent another message in through the app and asked the question, when are we going to go nuclear? With today's technology, happenings like Chernobyl are in the past. The it'll go bad argument isn't as solid as it used to be. This is another one I happen to agree with Cameron on. Nuclear energy has got to be a part of our future. I mean, we have to be an all-of-the-above approach when it comes to energy in our, not just our state, but our country. And, you know, we are not going to get this done with the hopes and dreams of renewable energy. Now, those are vital and important parts of our energy and our grid. However, we need an all-of-the-above approach to energy and powering our country. Nuclear has got to be an option. Now, we do have some nuclear in process. Now, how far that is has been a little bit vague, but Bill Gates and some private investment groups are working down in Kemmerer, Wyoming, of all places, Kemmerer, at a small reactor facility, a nuclear facility down in Wyoming. We'll see how far they get. They're going to have a better shot at getting that done under the Trump administration, I would argue, than under the current administration, just from a regulatory perspective. Again, our energy secretary and our Department of Interior secretary are going to be critical in helping make sure that these applications and the regulatory permits are moving through the process and doing it in a rapid fashion, not being held up by bureaucrats in Denver and in D.C., again, as we talk about energy, nobody in the energy industry is looking to rape and pillage the land. You know, that I think is a absolute mischaracterization when we talk about regulatory reform. Nobody wants to go back to clear-cutting forests. That's not the intent. The intent is to do this in a reasonable and responsible manner, knowing that we are stewards of the land that we are operating on, and knowing that we have to take care of this for the next generations of our own families. You know, we do some work in the power industry and in the transmission and the renewable side, worked in the oil and gas industry and all the way back in the coal bed methane industry back in the early 2000s down in the Powder River Basin down in Wyoming when I came out of college. We need to get back to an all-of-the-above approach to energy security in our country, and we have got to continue to look at options. Hydrogen is another option that we're seeing more and more and more development. Now, it's not quite there yet to be put in on a global scale or even on an industrial scale, but we're not going to wind turbine our way out of this, and we're also not going to drill our way out of it. But if we look at this with a steady hand and we come at energy development from all sectors, including hydropower. You know, hydropower is the true renewable resource. We've got a glut of hydropower and hydropower opportunities here in the state of Montana. We export a lot of power through the dams that Northwest Energy owns and operates in the state of Kootenai with Kerr Dam up in Northwest Montana. We have got to look at taking advantage of all options that we have. Now, you get out to the West Coast and they're tearing dams out in the Columbia River Basin. Yeah, those types of things just continue to create the deficit that we've got to make up somewhere else. So, Cameron, thanks for the comment on nuclear. I'm with you. We're going to take another quick break here as we go into the 7 o'clock hour. But the call-in number is 406-294-0970. Love to hear from you. Call in, shoot a text message in on the app. This is Montana Talks Radio.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Of course they pay higher salaries in places like New York and L.A. It costs so much more to live in those places. You hear those kinds of statements so often that you never question them. But when you examine them more closely, the logic doesn't quite work. Of course, the evidence is clear. Average wages in the bigger cities are higher than Montana, for many jobs at least. But there's nothing automatic about simply paying people higher wages because, say, housing costs or taxes are high. After all, the businesses that are paying those wages don't get extra revenue from their customers simply because the cost of living where they are located is high. People make higher wages in bigger cities because the nature of their jobs is different. They are more specialized. Their responsibilities are broader. Their decisions and actions have more impact. They are paid more because their efforts produce more. That's where the money comes from to pay them more, as it must. There's no other way it can happen. I'm Patrick Markey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.